Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains how your life can be radically changed through the power of God.
I heard a story of a pig and a hen who were walking down the road. They saw a poster for the church that said, "Don't miss it, we're going to have eggs and ham at the potluck." And the hen said to the pig, "Isn't that nice that we can help the pastor out with the potluck?" And the pig replied to the hen, he said, "It's nice for you because you're making a contribution, but I'm making a sacrifice." Now, somewhere between contribution and sacrifice is where every one of us ought to be living.
Life can sometimes be overwhelming, and balancing all the competing demands we face can be a challenge. But God desires to give you a supernatural strength that only He can give. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, The Power of God, Pastor Chappell offers biblical insight and simple steps that can take you from where you are to where you want to be. As you apply the truth of God's Word, your life will change in ways you never thought possible. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Power to Enable.
God in the first century allowed certain revelatory sign gifts so that people would say, "Whoa, this Christianity is real." And people would speak in a language other than their own, and someone would interpret what they said, and they would all receive a word from the Lord. And it was a wonderful phenomenon in the first century called the gift of tongues with interpretation. The Bible does say in 1 Corinthians 13:8, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease." Now, because tongues were a form of revelation, we believe they ceased their use when the scriptural canon was closed. You'll not find any reference to tongues as you get back into these latter epistles. It was not a prominent type of worship form in the church. Why? Because the Bible now was being completed. And as Baptists, we believe that the Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Okay, so we don't have the Bible plus someone else's revelation or another revelation or another Bible or another book like some denominations. We have the Bible alone as our authority. But those temporary sign gifts were important in the first century before the Bible was even completed. And so there are many different kinds of gifts, some permanent, some temporary. All have been important in the local churches. Secondly, they are given sovereignly. They are given sovereignly. When we use the word sovereign, we mean that God is God and He is sovereign in His choices. Why do these things happen to these people and these things to these people? Why does one have the gift of mercy and another the gift of administration and another the gift of teaching and another the gift of exhortation? Well, because God is sovereign. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's His decision. Look at that in 1 Corinthians 12:11. "But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally," notice the phrase, "as He will." So God superintends in the distribution of the gifts. And He alone determines how He will gift. But know this, everyone who is saved and seated in this room today has been given by God a gift. He gives different gifts. He gives sovereignly. And thirdly, they are given by the Holy Spirit. Listen, the pastor can't give this to you. The church can't give this to you. No one can give this to you except the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, all right? And so we see the endowments of the Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts that are given at salvation by the Holy Spirit, different gifts to different people. Now, how many of you so far say, "All right, so far I seem to understand here in the scriptures in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, that every man receives this spiritual enablement or gift. I'm with you so far. Give me a raised hand or an amen or something. All right, good. All right, we want to learn something this morning. So we have the endowment of the Spirit. Besides forgiveness and heaven, He gives us enablements or gifts whereby we might serve Him more effectively. Now let's notice, secondly, the edification of the Spirit. The edification. Now, why does God endow you with the ability to teach or help or serve? He does that because He wants you to edify others in the body and to build up the body and to be used for the glorification of Jesus Christ. He endows us that we might edify or build up the body. I had a lady come to me just last Sunday after church, after the 11 o'clock service. She may be here this morning. And she's not a younger lady. I wouldn't try to guess her age, but I'm going to say 60 to 70. She's been a member for a while. And she said to me, she said, Pastor Chapel, she said, I don't know how, in the nursery, folding bulletins, doing something, but I would like to serve the Lord in my church. Amen. And within 24 hours, she received a call and we're helping her find a place of ministry. Why? Because she was sensing in her heart, she wanted to do something to edify the work of God and to be a part of advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You see, you could liken this to a musician with his instrument. And the fact is that we are living instruments crafted by a God who is the divine instrument maker. And He wants our lives to be used of Him to bring honor and glory to Him. And He has given to us this privilege in the church. Now, we can edify this body in two different ways. And let me share those with you very quickly. First, through serving the Lord. God wants every one of us to use our gifts in service. Notice in verse 10, please, once again. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. All right, look at that phrase. Even so minister the same one to another. Let's say that together. Ready to begin. Even so minister the same. So God says, I'm going to give you a desire and ability spiritually. It is God that worketh in you both to give you the will and to do the work. I'm going to give you an ability to minister, to organize, to help, to teach. And now I want you to take that gift that I've given you, and I want you to go out and I want you to serve others with that personally. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, church, let me have your attention. How many of you recognize that you are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, the local body at Lancaster Baptist Church, all right? And no one here is unimportant, and everyone here has a part, and the Lord adds to the church such as should be added. And God puts you here into this place so that together we might achieve more for His honor and glory. And verse 5 of Romans 12 says, we being many are one, and every one members one of another. Now verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then he begins to say those gifts. Some are the gifts of ministering and teaching and encouraging and giving and ruling. He says, I want you to use your gifts in the work of the ministry to serve in and through this body called the local church. Hebrews 6:10, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And in this ministry, some will minister with speaking gifts, some with serving gifts. But it's just a wonderful thing to see people serving the Lord. But sometimes I wonder, what if every born-again Christian in America figured out what their gifts were and got plugged in serving God? What a different nation this might be. And what if every member of every church, including this one, would say, hey, the Christian life is not a spectator sport. God didn't save me so I could sit on my blessed assurance, but God saved me and God gave me a spiritual ability to serve Him, and I want to figure out what that is, and I want to get involved serving my Lord. What a great church this is, but what a greater church this could become if everyone said, I don't know what God gave me, but I want to figure it out, and I want to use it for His glory, you see. I want to serve the Lord in my church. God gives us these divine enablements that we might use them individually, one-on-one, helping others in the body of Christ. And congregationally, Ephesians 4 says that Jesus gives some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so it is through service, as you get plugged in and as I get plugged in and as we serve, then the body is edified as members are serving according to their giftedness and according to the will of God. But not only is there service mentioned, but secondly, I want you to see it is through our stewardship, through our stewardship. Now, notice, if you will, verse 10 of our text, 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Watch this. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right, let's say that phrase together. As good stewards. Say it again. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, a steward is someone who takes care of the gifts, someone who takes care of the things of another, a manager of household affairs. God says, I'm going to give you some gifts. I'm going to give you the gift of serving, the gift of helping, the gift of giving. God says, I want you to serve me with these gifts, and I want you to be a good steward of these gifts. If you had the vaccine for a disease and kept it in your closet at home, you would not be a good steward of that vaccine. And God says, I have given you abilities to serve, but I want you, according to verse 10, to be good stewards of that grace, those gifts that I give you. God says, I'm going to put some things into your hands. I'm going to give you some time, some talent, some treasure. And God says, I want you to take this. And I want you to use it. Now, friend, if I take the gifts of God and if I sit on those gifts and I'm not using them, I'm not a wise steward. If you have the ability to help a children's class or sing in the choir or help the missionary or teach or drive the bus, and God said, here, I've given you these desires and abilities, but you're sitting on them, then you are hindering the great things that God wants to do. God says, I don't want you to waste what I've given you. I want you to be a wise steward. And God has given you abilities that He intends to be used for the advancement of His kingdom. And I challenge you this morning as a church, don't waste your spiritual enablements. 1 Corinthians 4 is in your notes. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Friend, when you begin to discover your spiritual gifts, and we'll help you with that, and you begin to use those for the Lord, be faithful with those. Don't hide it under a bush. Don't put it away. But use your abilities given by God for the glory of God. Be a steward of it. I heard a story of a pig and a hen who were walking down the road. They saw a poster for the church fellowship. The church was going to have a potluck, a harvest supper, and it said, don't miss it. We're going to have eggs and ham at the potluck. It's going to be great. And the hen said to the pig, isn't that nice that we can help the pastor out with the potluck? And the pig replied to the hen. He said, well, it's nice for you because you're making a contribution, but I'm making a sacrifice. Now, somewhere between contribution and sacrifice is where every one of us ought to be living. Saying, Lord, you've been good to me. You've saved me. And Lord, you've given me the ability to talk to kids or the ability to make some money or the ability to organize some things or the ability to help widows in the nursing home. And God, I'm not going to stay at home with my remote control, squandering the abilities that you've given to me. But God, I want to take my spiritual gifts and I want to be a part of the body of Christ, the local church. And I want to be a part of what you've called me to do, not living for myself, but living for your kingdom and for your glory. God says, hey, I'm going to provide the raw material, but you've got to do something with it. I want you to be involved. The average church is like a football game. 50,000 screaming fans, badly in need of exercise, watching 22 players on the field, badly in need of rest. And my friend, we believe at Lancaster Baptist Church that every member should be a minister. Everyone should get involved. The endowments of the Spirit, these are the gifts. the edification of the Spirit. When everyone gets plugged in with their gift, then the church is edified. But notice finally, the exaltation of the Spirit. Now, why do we do all of these things through the spiritual gifts? Why do we get involved? It's because we want to exalt and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to our text, 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God, speaking of the word of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability of God, which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, how can we exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Notice, first of all, we must minister in the power of Christ. We must minister in the power of Christ. Power for life, power for ministry. Where does it come? It comes from God. Notice that in verse 11. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. You see, it's Jesus Christ living through me. It's not by strength. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the ministry that must take place in this church must take place by the Spirit of God working with us and through us. And thus we labor with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God, and we labor through the power of God. It is only by His strength that we can labor. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You say, Pastor, I can't go on. I can't teach a class. I can't work in the nursery. I can't do some of these things. I can show up when I can show up. No, I'm going to give you the Bible answer to your thought and your question. And the Bible answer is this: I can, not I can't. I can. God gave you an ability to serve, then you can use it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I was thinking this past week, as I often go back on memory row and memory lane during this time of year, and I think back often to those first days and weeks and months. And I remember that second service as I stood to preach. That's a picture of me right there, the man in the middle with all the hair. And I think back to those early days, and 12 and 15 and 20 people and 30 and 40 people. And I'm going to tell you honestly, for 16 months, just going out knocking on 500 doors a week and trying to get people to come and tell people about Jesus Christ, no staff, no salary, not even a coffee pot at the church, nothing. Most of you, if you would have visited Lancaster Baptist Church in 1986, you would not have been impressed. You would have found a young preacher trying to learn how to preach. You would have seen the preacher's wife teaching the nursery through the sixth grade in Sunday school. You would have seen a few other groups renting the building where we were meeting. You would have heard the music. Sometimes we had a piano. Sometimes we had taped music. Sometimes we had no accompaniment. But it was always good because I was leading the singing. But you may not have been too impressed with it. The fact of the matter is that there wasn't a whole lot, humanly speaking, that was impressive. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. There was something happening in our hearts. There was a young couple and a few families that began to join us who said, we'd like to figure out how we can serve. Well, I can paint, and well, I can tithe, and well, I can plant some plants, and I can fix a bus, and I can drive a bus. And one by one, people began to minister in the power of God, and God began to do something in this church. And as we minister in His power, the result is we magnify His name. And the Bible says in verse number 11 that Jesus Christ may be glorified. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. To Jude in verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Listen, when we minister in the power of God, we will magnify the name of God. And I think it's a wonderful thing when people can drive by and say, look at the Baptists. They're building another building. They're having another special day. I heard about people coming and their lives being changed, and an alcoholic whose life got changed. Listen, let me tell you what happens when that takes place. God gets glory. God gets the glory. On December 22nd, 1899, evangelist D.L. Moody was on his deathbed. As D.L. Moody lay there, he was sharing with a friend his testimony. D.L. Moody was a common man saved by the uncommon grace of God. He was saved in the back room of his shoe store where he sold shoes. Led to Christ by a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball. Moody told how that after he was saved, he wanted to tell others, and so he began to invite boys to come that he might tell them about Jesus Christ and what he was learning from the Bible. And there were at first 18 raggedy little boys who came to his class. But after 2 years of loving people and going out on the streets and telling people about Jesus, 2 years later, there were 1,500 boys in his Sunday school. 1,500 boys hearing about Jesus. From there, God began to bless Mr. Moody in America and Europe, and he established the schools there in Massachusetts and raised up the buildings in Chicagoland, and he established the girls' home and the boys' home, and he had the great Moody Church in Chicago, and literally millions and millions of people heard this man as he stood to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he lay on his deathbed, he told the story to his friend, and then he closed his story with these words placed in your notes this morning. If God be your partner, make your plans big. If God be your partner, make your plans big. The day that Jesus saved you is the day that God became your partner, my friend. And he gave you gifts and abilities, and he wants to give you dreams to do great things for him. This auditorium was full in the first service and in the second service, and Sunday school classes all over the campus, and lives are being touched and changed. But I want to tell you something. There are greater works than these yet to be done. And in this room right now this morning are the resources, the gifts, and the abilities to do a greater work for God. If every one of us would say, Lord, what did you give me? How do you want to use me? How can I be involved? How many of you have seen in the black and white scriptures of the Bible this morning that God has given you a gift? Raise your hand if you saw it this morning. How many of you understood this morning that God wants you to use that gift to glorify Jesus Christ? Raise your hand if you saw that this morning. Sure, we did. The question is, will you? Others have said, hey, I want to learn how to counsel and pray and help bear a burden. I want to learn how to pass out a gospel tract. I'll give money so the missionary can go. I'll give money so we can have this building we're sitting in right now. Others have said, I'll be glad to teach the third grade, the fourth grade, the fifth grade. I want to help. I want to be a part. Listen, we're not here to sit on our blessed assurance today. Thank God for people who have said, I'll have my part. And this is what we see today. But what else does God want to do to touch Lancaster and California and the nation? What would happen if every saved person in America use their gifts to the glory of God? I know of some people in America that are busy with their causes. They're promoting their drugs. They're promoting their lifestyle. They're promoting their agenda. What about the cause of Jesus, my friend? May we say, Lord, here am I, use me. He has power to enable you to serve him for the glory of God. By the way, if you're here this morning and you say, wow, Pastor Chappell's talking about power to enable me to serve, but I'm not even sure that I'm saved. I'm not even sure that I'm a Christian. I don't even know that my sins are forgiven. I don't know that I'd go to heaven someday. Look right here. He has power to save you too. He has power to wash away your sin and give you a home in heaven. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.